Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I mentioned last week, we just started the season of the year where all the Sundays are called Proper 7, Proper 8, Proper 9. This week, our epistle lesson was from Galatians chapter 5. And if we had started, and we didn't, but if we had started way back on Proper 4, Proper 4 read Galatians 1, and Proper 5 read Galatians 2, right? You know how that works, right? So it would be a chapter a week. But we're tonight, this morning, going to be at Galatians 5, and I want to kind of get ourselves into Galatians just a little bit. So if I look over at Galatians 1, beginning of verse 3, St. Paul begins this way. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That sounds nice, right? Paul is writing a letter. Grace and peace be yours. In the name of God our Father and Jesus, his Son and the Savior. And then after that, the letter turns a little bit more stern, because the next words are, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. He starts out, grace and peace be yours, greetings in the name of Jesus. And then he says, how have you turned so quickly from the gospel of Christ and you turned to a different gospel, which isn't even a gospel? St. Paul, in this letter and the rest of the book, is going to be about saying to them, they have exchanged the good news of salvation, the free gift of salvation in Jesus, for something else. Now, if you wanted to have a theme for the book of Galatians, I can give you two words. The book of Galatians has a theme of two words. Here they are. Christ alone. Christ alone, nothing else. How are you saved? Christ alone. It is Christ plus nothing else, right? I know you hear that regularly. You just have to be reminded. You are saved by Christ and nothing else. Not by Christ in your works, not by Christ in your giving, not by Christ in your positive attitude. You're saved by Christ and nothing else. The reason that's the theme of Galatians is that St. Paul had been teaching in this church about the gospel, the good news, salvation in Jesus. By the way, and when we say this all, in Jesus, how many sins are forgiven? All of them. Imagine it. All of them. There are sins we have in our past that we're too embarrassed to mention even to a spouse or a close friend. Yeah, those sins in Christ are covered, right? Every hurt, all the ugly business in our past, all of it, the worst of it, covered by Christ. By Christ and by nothing else. And by trusting in him, right? Nothing else. St. Paul had taught that gospel in Galatia, and after him, false teachers came in and they said, well, Christ is pretty good, but you need to have Christ plus circumcision. Or you have to have Christ plus the Old Testament law. So Paul was almost right. Paul was right to preach Christ, but we're saying there's Christ and also all these Old Testament laws. And what is Paul saying? Christ alone. Now, that's Galatians 1. He starts out kind of sternly. Galatians 2, Galatians 3, Galatians 4. He's talking to them about the gospel, about God calling Abraham, about Abraham being saved by faith, all of these different things. I want us to get then over to Galatians chapter 5 where he says this. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Now, if all your sins are forgiven, if the ugliness of our past is erased, what are you? You're free. You're free to live a life in Christ right now. That's good news, right? We're free in Christ. For freedom, Christ set us free, but he says then, stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. What he's saying is, there is a religious impulse somehow that says, what must I do? I'm not sure why that's in us, but we hear the good news of Jesus. Salvation is a gift. It's not earned, it's given. And the human nature says what? Okay, cool, tell me what to do. Right? Pastor, if you would give us a list of rules, we would keep those rules. Right? A man even said that one time to Jesus. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? It's the question. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It's Christ plus nothing. Christ alone, that's salvation. Now, we need to be careful about this because freedom is a complicated topic, isn't it? For freedom, Christ set us free. But I want us to know this. Freedom is not anarchy. Freedom is not chaos. So what is it, right? What is freedom? St. Paul is going to say some things elsewhere in Galatians that answers, I think, what is kind of an American problem. We tend to say, well, freedom, what does freedom mean? Freedom means I can do anything I want. Freedom means I can do anything I want to anybody at any time. My will, my wishes. St. Paul addressed this. We're in Galatians, but I want to sneak over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. There's a verse where Paul anticipates this, and if you have a Bible and you look at this verse, you'll notice not all translations, but many translations put quotation marks around the first phrase. What they're doing is they're letting us know that Paul is quoting stuff that he's hearing people say. So what is he hearing them say? This is what they're saying. Everything is permissible for me. Sounds very modern, doesn't it? I'm free to do anything. Everything is permissible for me. End quotation mark, dash, and then Paul responds, but not everything is beneficial. You see? People say, freedom, I can do anything. And Paul says, but not everything is beneficial. And then he does it again, the quotation mark, everything is permissible for me. That's what people say. That's, by the way, it's not new, but just so you know. Everything is permissible for me, but Paul answers again, but I will not be mastered by anything. Do you hear it? The modern world says freedom means do whatever you want. There's no morality, there's no yokes, the church has lied to you. You can ingest anything you want. You can sleep with whomever you want. And a whole range of other things. And Paul says it's not all beneficial. And Paul says I won't be mastered by it. In Galatians 5, taking up the same topic, he says, you were called to be free, in verse 13, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Are you free? Yes. Does that mean everything is okay? No. And here's something that I think he's pointing at. If all of us here did everything we ever wanted, I think we would hurt two groups of people. The first group is we would hurt other people. Isn't that the way it is now? People think everybody else is just a means to my desires. If you say you can do anything you want, you would hurt other people. But ironically, who else do you hurt? Yourself. When we are given a false bill of goods that freedom is doing anything you want, you wind up hurting yourself. And in a weird way, what the world calls freedom is actually enslaving. Right? People are enslaved by the things that they think are their freedom. And people do studies about this now. We call it addictive behavior. And although people now understand what addictive behavior is, the world still says, this is free, this is free, this is freedom, do what you like. There's no God, there's no rules, do what you like, live life the way you want. And then they're enslaved to it. That's why St. Paul says this. Some people, this is what he's saying, some people are saying everything is permissible, but I'm saying to you, I will not be mastered by anything. If there is something that is running my life, that's not good or healthy. And in an odd way, not free. So Paul says, there's conflict going on in all of us. There's the flesh and there's the spirit, and these are contrary to one another, Galatians 5. And these are warring with one another. And so he gives us a list. The acts of the sinful nature, and then the fruit of the Spirit. Let's be honest, when we heard the acts of the flesh or the acts of the sinful nature, depending on which translation you read, didn't you hear words you didn't expect to hear in church? St. Paul says, people that submit to the false type of freedom engage in the acts of the sinful nature, and they are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and orgies. Those are weird words in church. But he's saying, the world has said, here's freedom. Be done with God, be done with restraint, here's freedom. And Paul says, yes, and it looks like that. Right? He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want us to know the phrase live like this. You hear me mention this from time to time. The phrase live like this is a Greek participle. Participles are ongoing words, right? Continuous activity, that you keep doing these things. He's not talking about the Christian who wrestles with sin, a Christian who stumbles. He's not talking about that. He's talking about people who've said, let's just live like this. People who live like that don't inherit the kingdom of God. And the alternative is this, the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, in your bulletin, there's the fruit of the Spirit listed. I'm not sure why in the modern, updated NIV they changed one of the words. It used to be patience, where it says forbearance. It used to be patience. And I memorized it the other way. I want to encourage the congregation to work on this. Here's your homework for this week. I would love everyone to memorize the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9 of them. They are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Memorize those 9. Now, here's a handy way to remember. It's not true in Greek, but it is in the English translation. There's 9 of them. If you break them into 3 groups of 3, love, joy, peace, 1-syllable words, right? Patience, kindness, goodness, you see it? 2-syllable words. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, 3-syllable words. Does that help? When I was in Connecticut, one of our youth leaders said that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and a package of figs. Has anybody ever heard that? Patience, kindness, goodness, you see that package? You take the first letter. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, figs. So I don't know if that helps or not. I'm serious. I want everybody to memorize the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, a package of figs. And say, Lord, work that in me, right? That's what we're saying. Not just to memorize it because it's cute, but the fruit of the Spirit. The flesh and the Spirit war against one another. And every one of us here is going to stumble and fall. But God wants to work in us that fruit. Love, it's agape, it's spiritual love, a joy that is not based on circumstances. The word peace is the same word that we get the word irenic from. Patience here literally does mean to suffer much, especially when afflicted by other people. Kindness means mercy, actually. Mercy and gentleness toward, it says, a kindly disposition to your neighbors, my Greek dictionary says. Goodness means good, right, beneficial. Faithfulness means either faith or faithfulness, to be in the place of right doctrine. Gentleness means humility, not to think myself better than others. And self-control in the Greek literally means to get a grip, is what it means to hold on to, is what that that word means. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want us to hear how Paul ends this chapter. Against such things there is no law. Yes. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us what? Keep in step with the Spirit. You are free. In Christ, you're free from death, you're free from sin, you're free from condemnation, you're free from eternal damnation. We're free from many things. But free from to do what? To do anything we want. No, that's slavery. Not slavery, but free to have the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, grant that, right? Memorize it and ask Him to do it. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.